You would turn with me then to the Gospel of John in the 20th chapter. Gospel of John, chapter 20, reading the verses 11 through 18. Before we do so, let us look to God for his illuminating spirit. Our God and Father, we do thank you that you have given us your word. We do thank you that you have given us your word as the inspired, that you have, by your Spirit, inspired the authors. And we but now ask that you would, by your Spirit, illumine us, that we might understand and see the word as you have given it unto us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Verses 11 through 18 of John 20, let us give our careful attention to the reading of God's most holy word. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stopped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. We're going to be looking this evening particularly at the words of Jesus in verse 17. Thus far, the reading of God's most holy word. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, obviously the resurrection of Christ is a pretty important event. It is something that we celebrate, and we ought to. It is indeed a great event that took place, and we praise God on this day. And in some sense, we do celebrate that resurrection every Lord's Day. Now, I believe that the most important aspect of the resurrection is to realize that in reality, that when Christ walked out of that tomb on that early resurrection Sunday, that by faith, as God's people, we walked from that tomb with him. We celebrate that new life in Christ. Not only Christ's new life, but our new life in Christ. We celebrate that with the life that we live every day. How so? How do you celebrate the new life in Christ in your home and at work, your vocations? See, the resurrection of Christ is not only important in terms of the day, but it is the foundation of the gospel. Unless Jesus rose from the dead, having suffered the punishment for sin, there would be no salvation. Unless you believe in the resurrection of Christ, you have no salvation. Yes, Jesus is not just the risen Savior, great as that is. He is the Lord, he is the Master, who has died that you might live for him. He is the one who was on the throne at the right hand of God. You see, it is possible to claim faith in Christ. It is possible to even celebrate the resurrection and yet not really know what it truly means to belong to Him. It's very telling to consider the little incident which took place when Mary first saw Jesus. Jesus wanted her to know what it really meant that He was her risen Lord. And so I would ask you this evening to consider those words to Him when He says, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, and say to them, to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Obviously, Mary was a person who had great devotion to Jesus. She was concerned that the body be properly cared for. One could not say that Mary lacked in her devotion to Jesus in any way. She was dedicated. There was a very traumatic experience that had just happened for her and for her friends, not only disciples, but some of the others who were very close to Jesus as they watched Him, the person they thought to be the Messiah, now to come and be crucified on the cross, and He's gone. So she wanted to take care of Him. But however, she did lack in understanding regarding her faith. Not suggesting that she didn't believe, but she had a lack in understanding of what that was really all about. As with the disciples, there really was virtually no understanding of what was really happening here. Because you see, revelation is not only what God says. Christ had sufficiently told them what would happen. But there's revelation in the actual work of God. The revelation of Jesus dying and actually coming forth from the grave was still something which the disciples yet needed to see. He is making Himself known even as He appears to Mary and then to the disciples and all of those instances. Now, as in that day and age, as people were buried, and most often they were buried in a tomb where the body could be yet attended to, it was the custom to provide special care for the body, even after the burial. Although you need to remember that Jesus was buried rather quickly because it was near the beginning of the Sabbath on Friday evening. Taking care of the body meant that they would apply certain ointments to the body. So the intent was to provide out of devotion and love for this person that had been very dear to them. And Mary looked for the body of Jesus so that she might carry out that act of devotion and love for the Lord. When she did not find Him, she was distraught. She was not able to show that kind of devotion that she wanted to. So she inquired somehow to find a body to locate Him. Just indicates again how important that was. And the point is that there was no lack of devotion. There was no lack of commitment on her part. And we can commend Mary for her desire to provide this service. And indeed demonstrates her devotion. But as with the disciples, we could well ask, should she not have known that He would rise again? Well, it just points to the incompleteness yet of what their faith needed to be all about. We learn, in fact, even more about their lack of faith. There are several incidents when those quite familiar with Jesus, it's really kind of interesting, They were very familiar with Jesus. They knew exactly what he looked like. And yet, at first, they did not recognize him after the resurrection. Was it simply because of unbelief? Was it simply because of the extent of their grief? Apparently, there was some change in the resurrected body, and yet he certainly looked as an ordinary human, and that Mary thought he was a gardener. There is, in fact, no reason to believe that his personal looks had changed as though he had undergone some kind of plastic surgery or something in which he looked way different. Nobody could recognize him. There's no reason to understand it that way at all. And the reality is that the inability to see Jesus is really a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith. She was unable to see Jesus because she did not have the faith yet necessary to see the resurrected Lord. I'm reminded of the confrontation that Jesus has earlier in recorded for us in the Gospel of John, that Jesus has with the disciples. And finally, we find there in chapter 10 where Jesus the Pharisees, the Jews, that are constantly giving him a bad time about what he's teaching and what he's doing. And they say to him, finally, they're standing right in front of him, and they say, "Will you please tell us, are you the Christ?" Again, they're right there. They see him with their eyes. He's there before them. And yet Jesus says this, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness of me, but you do not believe because you are not among my sheep." Now, not that Mary is not of the Father's sheep. She is. But clearly, she had not yet had that revelation. And the point is being, unless the Holy Spirit opens the eyes, no one will see the Lord. Unless the Holy Spirit leads you to see him, it's more than just simply that physical sight. But it's to believe that he is the Lord. You will not see that unless her eyes are opened by Jesus himself through his Spirit. There's a very, very important question here. What happens so that she finally does see Jesus? Did she finally figure it out? That all of a sudden, between all of the tears in her eyes, her eyes clear, and she sees, well, this is Jesus. Did she momentarily have a memory lapse, and then all of a sudden remembered? We read that Jesus speaks Mary's name, and probably in the Aramaic it would have been Miriam, the very familiar Aramaic, and she then sees Jesus. It is Jesus who calls to Mary. It is Jesus who brings Mary to the point so that she recognizes him. You see, the truth of God can be right there. The truth of the resurrection, which has been told here, which they even saw, can be right there. But unless Jesus comes to you and opens your eyes to see that truth, you will not. Jesus made himself known to Mary. Think again of that verse I quoted earlier from John 10. When Jesus has said to the Jews that they could not see him because they were not of the Father's sheep, he goes on to say then in verse 27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Jesus makes himself known to his sheep. It's not the other way around. That's what was happening with Mary and the others. They were seeking him. When he made himself known to them, even to Thomas when he said, "Feel my wounds." Remember, Mary had not been someone attempting to run away from Christ. She was as devoted and dedicated as anyone. But until he made himself known to her, she did not see. The point is, Jesus does make himself known to his own. Now, again, think about what happens when Jesus calls Mary. She saw Jesus. She responded and called out to her teacher. It was the name of a very familiar relationship with a teacher. When Mary saw Jesus, she said, "Rabboni." She confessed and expressed her faith. When Jesus makes himself known to his sheep, when Jesus makes himself known to you, you confess him. That is what it means to hear the call of Jesus and to follow him. Jesus, in fact, said, "Go tell the disciples that I not yet ascended to the Lord, but will. I am ascending to my Father and to your Father." So we have someone whose eyes are opened, who knows Jesus, not just as a loved friend, not just as someone devoted, but who confessed faith in her Lord. But now, we get to the most interesting and to really the point of what we want to consider this evening. We need to understand all of this just by way of background to really understand what we're talking about with faith and recognizing Christ. But then Jesus says to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father." What is this clinging all about? And why does he say, "Don't cling now? I've not yet gone to the Father"? Does he just not like the idea of somebody giving him a hug? This is not about physical touching. Jesus was not here preventing her from giving him a hug at all. I don't know if she did or not. We do read in Matthew that they took hold of his feet and worshiped him. But this is something quite different. This has to do with how they understood their relationship to him and what it means for the place which he occupies, seated at the right hand of the Father. See, the events which had taken place were very difficult for the disciples and friends. But most trying was the context of the group who had surrounded Jesus. Their hope was based on the presence of Jesus. Their hope was completely invested in, finally, they have found the Messiah who was bringing the kingdom. And they understood that they were under severe political danger. People who were doing the types of things that they were doing were looked upon almost like a group of terrorists who were going to upset the whole political system. There was real danger there for them. And we need to keep in mind the entire context of the Jewish notion of the kingdom of God. For them, it was having a pure kingdom, that is, to get rid of the Roman rule. And so everything was based upon a physical presence of Jesus there with them. And then he's crucified. But now he's back. So once again, there is this tendency to hang on to him in terms of his physical presence there. But even aside from that, just consider what the relationship was like. Jesus is not only the eternal Son of God, who has an unbounded love for his people, but he's also the incarnate Messiah. He had friends. Friends with whom he had formed a very close human relationship. They were not thinking about what they might do to advance the kingdom of God. They just wanted to reap the benefits of Him being there with Him, His presence. For Mary and the others to just hang on to Jesus, clinging to Him in that way, to just have Him there so that they could simply benefit from that immediate presence is quite understandable, but it would prevent Jesus from accomplishing His purpose. Jesus needs to be on the throne. He needs to ascend to heaven. He needs to be seated at the right hand of God the Father. And here is the thing. To truly be devoted to Jesus is not to hang on to Him. It is to live for Him. To be ready and willing to serve Him. I wonder if sometimes those today have that sort of very personal, aside from the church and aside from the scriptures and studying the faith, just simply said, I know Jesus, He's my buddy, He and I are get along with each other, I found Him, and so on. Very similar type of situation. They're not really finding the ascended Lord. Jesus came to save His people and with them build the kingdom of God. You are not here to simply experience what Jesus means to you today. There's an aspect of that that's good, of course. But you are here to be a soldier in His army. And for that, He needs to be on the throne, and you need to be interested in what He would have you do for Him. Consider what we read in the second chapter of 1 Peter concerning the church and the building of the church of Jesus Christ. First of all, we read in verses 4 through 8, as you come to Him, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For it stands in Scripture, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone, chosen and precious. And whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame. So the honor is for you who believe, but for those who do not believe, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumbled because they disobeyed the word as they were destined to do. What we see here is that it's not just about saying, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. How great it is to have Jesus. That's what Mary is doing. But it is being a part of something which Jesus is building. A living stone. By living, you are not just sitting there, but you are alive. In that you are being used by the cornerstone in continuing to build His kingdom. And that is expressed then specifically as we read on in verses 9 and 10 there in 1 Peter 2. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and to His marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This speaks about your part in service to Christ, who is on the throne, who is building His kingdom. Now, as we've indicated, Mary is still learning about faith. She needed to do more than just recognize Jesus. Many recognize Jesus in a sense. Many are even devoted to the idea of Jesus and speak of some kind of relationship to Him. And I do not mean to belittle that. We do need to confess Jesus. We do need to say His name, how beautiful that is. To be devoted to Him, to love Him. But it is possible to have a sense of Christianity in which that is all that it is. Many even go to church on Sunday. Probably many today, because it's Easter. But then set him aside until the next Sunday, or not again until maybe Christmas. But Jesus is not someone for you to say, I know Jesus and I feel good about him. Nor is complete faith in him simply, I have confessed him, I know something about him, I'm even a member of the church. When you confess Jesus, you need to recognize him as the resurrected and ascended King. As Mary was told to do and to tell the disciples. Thus, to recognize Jesus is to be ready to serve him. The resurrection of Jesus is about the glorious kingdom of Christ. To celebrate the resurrection in faith is to live your life recognizing the risen Lord, the master of your life. That means worship and being faithful in all that you do. Indeed, Jesus did ascend to the Father. And yet Jesus says to you today the same thing that he said to Mary. God has not called you to simply have an emotional tie to Jesus. Remember, Jesus said there will be many who will say, Jesus, Jesus, and he will say, I never knew you. Jesus is asking you that if you are indeed celebrating the resurrection of Christ, and I trust that you are all truly doing so, then you will recognize him as the ascended Lord. That is, he is your king, and you acknowledge his kingship in your life and all that you do. Here's the final thing that you must absolutely see. You cannot begin to truly recognize Jesus as Lord if you do not worship him. Even in our worship, we do not gather just to say, I worship Jesus. But we worship him so that we might be prepared to live for him. So I ask you, what do you cling to? You cling to Jesus as something to hang on to simply for your comfort? Do you cling to him so that you can feel good about yourself? Mary would have loved nothing better if Jesus had said, you don't have to be afraid anymore. From now on, we will just be together, our little group, and we will enjoy each other. But he said, if you really see me as Rabboni, then you will see me as the Lord of your life and your King, for whom you are ready to give your life. That is what you are called to cling to. And I call you this evening that you cling to the resurrected Lord who has ascended and is the King of glory. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we are awestruck. What a privilege it is, even as Mary, that the risen Christ says to us that he is our Lord, ascended and seated at the right hand of God. May we truly, at least in a beginning way, understand what we have been called to and what we confess when we call upon you as the resurrected Christ. And may we truly be used of you as you would see fit, ready to serve you and ready to acknowledge you as master of our life. We can only do this because you are the risen Lord. You are the one with all authority. You are the one who calls the lost unto himself. And we acknowledge you and we ask your forgiveness in our weakness, and we ask your for strength through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.